President Bush has succeeded in passing the biggest tax cut in 20 years and has made progress on education reform, but his approval ratings have gone down recently. The decline coincides with a growing number of Americans who say they want more from the White House in the way of environmental protection and energy conservation. NPR's Elizabeth Arnold reports.
During the presidential campaign, the Democrats tried mightily to portray then-candidate George W. Bush as a pro-development, anti-wilderness zealot. But despite an opponent with the greenest of credentials and a slew of ads putting Texas air quality on par with that of Mexico City, the environment failed to resonate as an issue. Democratic pollster Celinda Lake says that's changed.
The irony here is it isn't the Democrats that have proved to voters that Bush is bad on the environment. It's Bush who's proved to voters that he's bad on the environment.
Lake's polling confirms what other national polls indicate as well, that Bush's energy and environmental policies have put him on the wrong side of the voters, most notably moderate Republican women, a key swing constituency.
They tend to think of him as way too close to the oil and gas industry. They tend to think of him both in terms of the environment and in terms of the economy, favoring a policy that includes much more drilling, mining, etc., than they would support.
Since taking office, President Bush has been under fire for delaying and reversing policy set by the outgoing Clinton administration. From postponing a rule that would have reduced the allowable level of arsenic in drinking water to withdrawing U.S. support of the global warming agreement adopted in Kyoto, the administration's currently perceived by a majority of Americans as favoring industry over the environment. James Connaughton, the chairman of the White House Council on Environmental Quality, says the president's getting a bad rap for what was inherited from the previous administration.
Whether it's Kyoto or arsenic, they struggled with the issues just the same way we did. And so with the portfolio that we inherited, as we've tried to tackle how to move forward in a constructive, positive way, our effort to make decisions and act responsibly is capturing all the negative press that the last administration basically put on the shelf to avoid.
Connaughton points to new rules for regional haze and for diesel sulfur emissions, and a recent decision to uphold the Endangered Species Act and deny water to irrigators in Oregon as evidence of the administration's commitment to the environment. Jerry Taylor specializes in natural resources at the Cato Institute, a libertarian think tank. He says it's too early to assess the president's environmental agenda, and he says what the president's being criticized for is more symbol than substance.
Even if we signed the Kyoto Protocol and lived up to it, it would slow down global warming by about a week. That's hardly significant. The treaty is significant because it's a symbol of our willingness to act, but it really doesn't contribute anything towards solving the problem.
But environmental groups have been cataloging the less symbolic stuff, too, says Todd True, a staff attorney with Earth Justice. True says it's not just the high-profile issues like the arsenic standard or drilling in the Arctic that defines environmental policy.
I think most of what's going on in this administration is under the radar in the sense that it involves decisions not to enforce, not to pursue, not to take action, none of which achieve very high public visibility.
Just as the Clinton administration set policy through rulemaking, the Bush administration can leave rules on the books but render them ineffective through inaction. States and municipalities have complained that many new regulations, such as the arsenic standard, are too costly and impossible to meet. That could explain why the administration has missed deadlines for new regulations on radon and parasites. Bush has pledged to avoid unfunded federal mandates and to return decision-making to local governments. Policies also set by budgetary decisions, and while the administration upped spending for national parks, for example, environmentalists are worried about what's being cut. Elise Campaign, legislative director for the Natural Resources Defense Council, points to reductions in the budget for EPA enforcement.
Without having money in place to effectively staff the enforcement of our environmental laws, the laws sit there on the books and are basically toothless and meaningless.
But without dependable support from Republicans in Congress who have broken ranks with the administration already on issues ranging from drilling in the Everglades to the arsenic standard, making policy through the budget and regulatory process is a more successful strategy. The question that's being asked, though, by Bush allies and critics alike is, with negative polls and publicity on the environment staring the administration in the face, why not change course? But as one Democratic consultant put it, it's like affirmative action for us. We know it hurts us politically, but we actually believe in it and are committed to finding a way to making it work. Again, James Connaughton of the White House Council on Environmental Quality.
We haven't gotten to the innovative approaches yet. We think we can do it better, faster, cheaper, you know, the whole bit. But we're not going to sacrifice the existing regime unless we can prove that point.
providing industry and municipalities with regulatory relief and increasing access to public land may not sit well with suburban swing voters, no matter how it's done. But it's something President Bush clearly believes in and is willing to take the political heat to accomplish. Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News, Seattle.